Okay, because there are so many content in each slide, you don't need to be busy in copying the note, okay? You may just take the important message, a keyword maybe. So at the end, the note will be available electronic if you need, and you can find out from the computer the file, okay? So at this time, we just read Bible and then think about the questions and try to find the answer through the scripture only. Okay, so we are going to study chapter 2 first, and then if we have time, proceed to chapter 3. Okay. So in chapter 2, the title, the theme is Hearing but Not Doing, regarding to the king Nebuchadnezzar. He is the one actually trying to find the truth. He wanted to know the secret. But at the end of the chapter, even though he acknowledged the fact, the truth, but later in his life, proof he doesn't really obey what he have been shown. The truth given to him, but he doesn't take it. Okay? So this chapter 2. This is a summary. Chapter 2. So it's supposed to have a right. So, this is an example of a sincere truth seeker. Just like, because the king, he wanted to know the secret which has been revealed in the dream, right? But eventually, in his thirst for knowledge is quenched. So, the answer provided. But he does not meet God's requirement by which hearing God is proved that actually doing what God said and putting it into practice, meaning after we heard the truth, we have to do it. But the king doesn't. Okay? So this is a summary. How is the king, he treated the secret? Only hear, but not do it. Next. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 3. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. So now the king, he is so anxious in his heart. He wanted to know the truth. He totally forgot. But he wanted to know, he wanted to record. What's that? Because this seems so important. So this dream become his number one issue. Right? So that's why he called everybody in, wanted to dissolve the issue in his life, right? Okay, so answer is yes, please. God gave him a dream which answered his question, right? Concerning the future, actually, this is about future. But he could not understand it. He knew the answer was available, but he lacked the ability to grasp it. So in chapter 2, verse 3, we can see he just said, I dream a dream. I'm so anxious. I want to know what is that. But all of the magicians, all his sermon cannot give him the answer. So God gave him a dream talking about the future. You know, it's out of curiosity. Everyone wants to know the future, right? So that's why many people are very interested in this fortune teller things, right? People may go to someone to tell your future, what school you're going to, what kind of the person you are going to marry with, right? All these kind of things, people have interest. So we know the future is in the hand of God. We don't have to worry. If we rely on God, then we should have a free heart. Next, please. The question. The magicians, they make in verse 11, they say to the king, right? Let's turn to verse 11. Because to those wise men, that's probably the only time someone asks them about the dream they forgot. If the king say about a dream, then they may have ability to interpret. But without saying anything, how can a person know someone's dream? No way, right? So in verse 11, let's read verse 11. Can Brother Hubert, can you read? Where is it? Yes, please read. Okay, verse 11, this is the word of the magician. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Okay, you think about the verse, the word, the answer. Okay, so the God is living in heaven. So to them, they are living on earth. Seems there's no connection between God, whom they worship, and their problem, right? So answer, please. You think about the verse. Actually, they admit their desperation. They have no clue to get the answer from God in heaven. So they actually answer or claim they don't have power to or wisdom to receive from their God. See? So their own claim of power and wisdom have no heavenly origin. They are limited to the source of man. So if someone tells them about things on earth, they may have chance or ability to interpret it. But out of the things from heaven, they don't know. So actually, these magicians or so-called wise men, they are so limited only on earthly things, right? Because in verse 11, their word already answered to the king, they don't know about the heavenly things. Okay. So think about the religion on the earth. Most of the time, what they can do is for the ordinary matter only. Even some Christians, now they doubt about the heavenly kingdom. Someone even don't believe there is everlasting life, right? People don't believe there is heaven or there is hell. Because what our physical eyes can see is just a material, physical world. So this verse actually is very important to the king. The king just then what is the matter for the king to face those so-called wise men, magician, do anything for him. No point at all. Next, please. So we can see now Daniel, then he came in, right? Daniel came in. If we look at the verse 8 and 9, let's read verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Sister here. Steffi. Verse 9. Okay. So in the first place, the magicians they cannot answer the question. So let's ask for more time, right? Give me the more time. You tell us the fact. Then we may just give you the answer. But the king already said, actually you are just try to gain some time and then make up the answer to me. So they have no power or ability to dissolve the problem. So they are actually, their heart, the king can see through it. Actually, they cannot do it. They have no clue at all. But if we look at the chapter, verse 16, when Daniel came in to talk to the king, say, I can give you the answer, right? Give me more time. Please read verse 16. Brother Nathan. Okay. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. So we can see the king actually can tell Daniel is different. His attitude and his faith in his God is there. So outwardly, actually, the king can tell who is the real wise man. So we compare how the king even can allow Daniel to, okay, you go. I allow you to more time. So a sincere heart, a strong faith in what we believe is important. So faith is not only in the heart, but can refer to our behavior, our actions toward the question, the problem. Okay. Because the magicians, they try to avoid the problem because they don't know how to do. But to Daniel, he know where to get the answer. So the problem is, the difference here, right? If we encounter any difficulties or questions, do we know where to get the answer? Yes. And also, Daniel, he know how to get it, right? How to get it, this is the key. So to God, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible, but depend on how you get it, right? So in what kind of attitude you put to this living God, then God can reveal everything to you. So we have to learn from this verse. So the king just so generously said, okay, I give you time. And then next, please. So why do you suppose God did not immediately provide the answer through Daniel the first time he went to the king? If God meet with Daniel, when Daniel went in to see king, God can also at the same time reveal the answer to him. The dream shown in the vision, and then Daniel can just repeat it, and the king can understand right away, right? But why? Why not God didn't do so? Right? So actually, it is a mystery for the king. But for Daniel and his friend, this is a task. A test of faith. They know where to turn to, who to turn to, get answer, right? But now, how they get answer is important. God wants to test them. So this is the way how God trained his sermon. So sometimes God give us this task. It's just a task, a test, a trial. A trial. Our faith must be tested. If we can pass, meaning we know where to get answer and how to get it. So today, it's so simple. Our Lord Jesus, He is the living God in heaven, and Holy Spirit has been with us. If we really abide with Jesus, abide in His word, abide with His love, we really cultivate ourselves with His word, we will know the answer. So God's will is not that difficult to know it. The problem is ourselves, our life. Is that close to God? Am I a person step before the God? Right? If we are God's servant, we stand before Him, serving Him, just like a sermon. So close. God will show us His will, so His servant will know what to do, how to do it. Everything so clear. Okay, so this is the verse, let's read verse 15 and 16. 15, actually we read already, 16, right? Next. How did Daniel and friend go about seeking the answer? How? They pray, right? So in verse 18, Brother Jack Shi. Where is Jack? Verse 18. Oh, 17. Amen. So they both, you know, the four, the youth, they pray together. They ask the heavenly God, right? The God of heaven concerning the secret. Okay, so that's a verse. Huh? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. This is a Bible verse from where? Huh? From here. Which verse talk about this? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. From? Father? Anyone? Find a verse already? James 1:5, yes. Please read, Daniel. So, this is how Daniel and his three friends are so wise. They ask this living God, and God revealed to them, because at that moment they don't know it, but God knows, right? So James 1:5, try to memorize it. If we lack wisdom, let us ask of God. He will not deny our request. We will get the wisdom. Okay, next please. Okay. Let's read verse 20. Verse 20 to verse 23. Let's read 23 only, 23. Sister. Sister, can Angela Wu? Angela. Yeah, 23. Okay. Is this the verse here? I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and the might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. So, what can we learn from Daniel's initial response to receiving the answer to his prayer? So, Daniel, he did not rush off to report. He stopped, right? Paused to give thanks, to give God the proper praise first. So this action manifests his reverent heart to God. This is important. Okay, so please turn to Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 25, 14. The secret of God. 25:14 Psalms. Okay, brother Ted Chen. Where is Ted? Oh, Ted is there. Okay, he is doing heavy. How about Brother Jeffrey? Which one? Oh, to Jeffrey. Okay. Miami. Jeffrey. Okay. 14. Psalm 25:14. Amen. So you can see here, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Daniel, he has a reverent heart to God. He fears God. Right? So his reverence actually showing he knows whom to go to when he encounters danger or difficulty. And when God showed the secret to answer it to his question, he praised the Lord first. Not rush to the king and to receive the credit, the praise from the king. No. His action say a lot of things in his life. Let's learn from Daniel. Okay? So if we want to know the secret, if we want to comprehend the word of God, let's come with the same reverence to God first. Okay? So the way we treat others, the life or the way we come to church to worship God, we decide whether we can really receive the secret or get the word of God or not. Okay. So don't just neglect, okay, I worship God in my heart, God knows my heart, and then not my outside actions is not important. Wrong. Our outside action, behavior, reflect what we have inside. Okay? Next, please. Let's turn to verse 21 and 22. May the sister Wen Ting, is Wen Ting 在哪里? Okay, please. Okay. So, what are the action verbs listed in these two verses which indicate God's sovereignty over history and all things prophetic? What is the verb? The verb. Okay, the first. He changed, right? Verse 21. He changed the times and the season. He changed. Then he removed kings and raised up kings. He removed and then raised up another one. Okay, so in this remove, actually, it is one more, raise up. He gives wisdom to the wise. He gives. And the knowledge to those who have understanding. Verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. So, change, remove, give, reveal, knows, raise up. All this the verb. So, our God is Almighty God. He has this optimal sovereignty over everything. We must put our trust totally on Him. It's very important. So let's learn from this verse, to honor and to trust Him. Next, please. When Daniel returned to the king with the answer, what is the first thing he does? What is the first thing he does? So, from verse 24 to 28, actually. What is the first thing he does? Anyone? So verse 27, right? 27. Okay. Please read 27 and 28, Matthew. Okay, so only God can give him answer. Okay, so the secret which the king demands cannot be declared by men, but only can be revealed by the God in heaven. So this is the how Daniel acknowledged everything come from God. So Daniel, he doesn't use this opportunity to promote himself. Oh, you see, I'm so reverent. I'm so good. I'm so close to God. No. He said, this is God's work. God revealed it to him. So Daniel, he just like a tool only. This is how Daniel, he demonstrates this a reverent heart. That's why in the chapter 9 or chapter 10, we can see he is a great beloved person by God, also my man. So only God can reveal secret. Okay, next please. Okay, so in verse 29, please read 29. Verse 29, Sister Yvonne Fu. Where's Yvonne? Okay, please read. Okay, so 29 came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. Okay, so what is the answer? What is the key? The future. Right? God is revealing the future of the history, about human history to the king. And next, what is God's purpose in revealing the future to the king? Why? Why? Okay, so now God revealed it to the king, right? Why God revealed it to Nebuchadnezzar about history? Sister. Anyone got answer? You read verse 30. Can brother Guan Xin, please read. Verse 30. Okay. So why the reason? What is the reason? To reveal the future to the king. Hendes. Only concerning about his own thought. Okay? So, verse 30. You may know the thoughts of your heart. So this actually is just like when you know the future, if God reveals the future, okay, to the king, a kingdom after him will rise up. But now the Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't want, he wanted to be forever. His action actually against God's will. We can see it in chapter 3. So when we know the future, actually this is a trial. It's a task about what is in our thought. Do we obey God's will? Yeah. Once you know it, but unfortunately, it may against your thought. So this is a challenge. You decide whether you want to go on God's way or insist your own way. Right? So this actually is big task to the king, he fell. So Daniel already told him about the important thing. This is the key. You may know the thought of your heart. God wants him to reflect about his position. As a great king of the empire of Babylon, he was so good, yes, but he is just a tool of God. Right? Next, please. Let's read verse 40 to 43. Because now that this is the interpretation by Daniel. 40 to 43. Sister Victoria. Yeah, 40 to 43, please. Okay. So, which part of the statue received the most attention? Which part? The feet, right? The feet of clay and the iron. Because this part is eventually divided and then become many nations. Okay, so the focus is the fourth part, right? So God already see that is the empire of the last days, the only one yet to come. So this part in chapter 2, it will be repeated in chapter 7. The most dreadful beast is the number 4. Just Daniel, he could not describe this kind of this beast, just like the statue, the fourth part, the fourth kingdom. Okay, next please. So what is revealed about the kingdom of clay and iron? What is revealed? In verse 40. He will break in pieces and crush all the others. Huh? In verse 40, you follow the important key. He will break in pieces because he cannot become a homogeneous one. Just mix, cannot get along with others. So eventually it will divide, right? Verse 41, the kingdom shall be divided. Shall be divided. 42, the kingdom shall be partly strong and the party fragile. 43, they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. So it describes this kingdom to come. So this reflects to the end time. This is how we view in this world. All the nations, even though all the leaders, they try to form this United Nations, but doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. No one really wants to listen to someone. Everyone consider I am the king. Right? Okay, so this part actually relate to our end time now. Next please. So how many kingdoms are interpreted by Daniel in the dream? How many kingdoms? 4 or 5 or 6? Which one? 4 or 5, 6? Huh? Anyone answer 6 or 5? Okay. Let's go through it. We know. Number one, O king, right? So that's in which verse? In verse 13:8, right? Verse 37. You, O king, are a king of kings. And then in verse 38, say, you are this head of God. Okay, then verse 39, after you shall arise another kingdom. Oh? Verse 39, continue. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze. Oh? Number three. Then verse 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Okay. Then verse 41. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and the partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with chromatic clay. So the fourth kingdom was divided in many, right? Number six, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay? So we can see how Daniel interprets there are six kingdoms to come. The number six, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. This is a kingdom of heaven. So it refers to church, the body of Christ. So this is the kingdom endure forever, spiritual kingdom. So it's talking about the spiritual world. Okay? So in the dream, there's a big rock, right? Smash the statue, and then it become a big kingdom. It's talking about, it's the kingdom of saints, actually. We will see in chapter 7 again. Okay. Next, how would you characterize Nebuchadnezzar's response? Did he experience a life-changing event in which he gave himself over completely to God? After he heard the interpretation, he made a declaration publicly. But he only acknowledged the message in Daniel, right? That's in verse 45, right? 46. But he does not appear to be significantly changed by it. His life, his lifestyle, his thought didn't change, even though he knew the secret. So he fell to 40 and probably act on it. That's why we say Nebuchadnezzar, he is a hearer, not a doer of the truth. Okay, I think what is next? Oh, actually it's the same. Okay. So chapter 3 is a test of faith. We'll continue tomorrow. Let's pray in silence.